Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 1, down through verse number 12. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse number 1. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it into thine house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment, and with all lost things of thy brother's which he hath lost and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. And the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dame sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dame with the young. But thou shalt in any wise let the dame go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house if any man fall from thence. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seed, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts as of woolen and linen together. Thou shalt make the fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture wherewith thou coverest thyself. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the reading of God's word. I ask, Lord, that you'd bless, dear God, and our teaching tonight, Lord. We continue to look at this idea of sanctifying, Lord, cleansing ourselves from filthiness of the flesh, Lord, looking at dear Lord, our responsibilities that we have to you and also to each other in this area of the care and proper presentation, dear Lord, of our bodies, which have now become a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, now has become one of your members, now has been purchased with a price. Now we've been commanded that it bring glory to you. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to not only understand our responsibility, but Lord, to live up to those things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to continue and finish up our teaching. I started kind of about a week ago introducing a little bit of this, and then Wednesday night we taught on what the Bible principles for our outward apparel. Tonight we're going to finish that out, and then we'll conclude our month of studying the subject of holiness. May cover one more thing on Wednesday night, a little bit along this, but as far as at least this part of it. And I want to have you save your spot there for just a second. If you will, go to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter number 22. It's good to have an understanding of the law of God. And let's read what Jesus said about it so that we can kind of understand as we read the law of God, we can kind of understand that the law of God is basically divided into two main parts. And Jesus hits on this when he talks and answers the question about the greatest commandment in the law. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 36, it says, here's the question he was asked, Matthew 22, 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, then this interesting verse. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And what that's telling us is that all the Old Testament law, if you'll read all of the Old Testament law that was presented, it can easily be divided into two arenas. One of those arenas is the laws concerning our relationship to God, what we're supposed to do or not do concerning our relationship with God. That is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know, if you truly love him, you're going to want to keep those commandments. It's not going to be an issue in your life. You're going to do the things that pleases him. The second one is concerning this idea of loving our neighbors ourselves. The second part of the law is laws written that govern our interaction with each other. Okay, so you can go to every single law of God in the Old Testament that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai can be divided into these two parts. It's either telling you a command or something that you need to do that's going to enhance your relationship with God, make sure you have the right relationship with God, or it's going to give you a command that'll help you to treat everybody around you the way that you would hope to be treated by them. And so I wanted to lay that down, because now we go back to Deuteronomy 22. If you'll go back to that portion of Scripture, I want to kind of look at the context of the chapter in which we go to chapter 22. We talk about this matter of apparel in verse number 5. I want you to kind of look at this in the context and have an understanding about the context. In my Schofield Bible, right under chapter 22, before verse number 1, there's a little title that Schofield has added in there, and it says the law of brotherhood. The law of brotherhood. Now, he added that. It doesn't need to be in your Bible. Your Bible's not wrong if it's not in there, but it's just a note, and he is correct. All of Deuteronomy chapter 22 would fall in the second category of laws that are given to help us to make sure that we're treating each other properly and doing right by our neighbors. So that's what this entire chapter covers. So when you look at chapter 22, verse number 5, again, folks, I like to say this, you know, man alive, I think the law of God's important. I know we don't keep the law to go to heaven. I know that that's not the requirement. But, you know, how many times have I said this? Only one time, okay? Now, you know what I'm going to say next, right? Did God pull out a group of people, make them a nation, call the leader up to a mountain, hand tablets of stone written with the finger of God, and said, this is how you govern a nation? I'd want to kind of know that. I want to kind of know what God, and you know what, folks, if you'll even look at the laws of the United States of America, since we was founded as a Christian nation, most of our laws are founded on the Old Testament law. It really is. You'll recognize this. We will read things in what we just read, and you know what? You can go to court today, and you can, listen, if you go to somebody's house, and they have not made proper, have not taken into consideration in this matter of safety, and you get injured on somebody's property, and it's because of neglect on their part, guess what? You can still go to court, you can still sue them, and they're still going to pay you. And yet, where was the basis of that? It was right there where it starts talking about verse number 8, when thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thy house, if any man fall thence. The houses were built with flat roofs. They were known as gathering places. There were places where people came up and entertained in the cool of the evening, desert climate, hot during the day. But boy, at night it cooled down. They would come out there of an evening. That's where they would relax. That's where they would cool down. Well, if there wasn't a battlement around the roof, that's talking about a ledge that you've built up, and somebody's up there, and they got a little three-year-old, and he goes over and walks off the edge of the roof, guess what, bud? You're responsible. So, you know, what I'm saying is God put that law down, not because it has to do with our relationship with him. It has to do with our relationship with each other and understanding we have responsibilities concerning the people around us. Okay, we can be a blessing to them or we can be a hindrance to them. You go to the first part of this that I read. You know, folks, I'm telling you what, you just have to live where I live. Okay, I have cows. The guy catty corner from me has cows. I mean, half the time his cows are out, and I'm helping him get them in, or half the time when I've got cows, mine are out, and he's trying to help me get them in. It's just part of it. And I'm going to tell you something. I have been dressed in a suit and tie and pull out of my driveway at 6:30 in the morning trying to get over to the church to get some stuff done and look down, and his stupid cow's standing in the middle of the gravel road. Do you know how often, Brother Chad, if it wasn't for this verse right here, I would say that idiot needs to fix his fence. But that's probably what he says every time he sees my cow out there. That idiot needs to fix his fence. But you know what I do? I pull my phone out. I've got his number. I call him up. I said, listen, man. He's like, oh, you're kidding. I said, no, I'll run back to the house. Why do I do that? Because you know what? Oh, well, I'm not under the law. I guess I could say that. I'm not under the law. I don't have to do that. Since when is that now become wrong? Or we're not going to be held to some responsibility in this area? To me, it's just kind of like, come on, folks. You know? So this whole idea of this haughty spirit about the law of God, this dismissal of the law of God. Now, folks, there are certain parts of the law of God, the ceremonial parts of the law of God. I'm talking about the offerings. I'm talking, listen, those were nailed to the cross. Okay? We don't have to bring a lamb. All of that was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. But I'm talking about the civil, not ceremonial, but the civil laws concerning our interaction with each other. We should still take into consideration, because when it says hide yourself, it's trying to act like, you know, act as if you don't have any responsibility in it. No, you know what? I was just at Dollar General. I think yesterday, Friday, the days run together. You know what? I was in line paying, okay? A lady comes in pushing a cart. She calls the cashier over to her. She said, I just found this cart in the parking lot. And then she pulls a purse out and said, this purse was in that cart. And she hands it to the lady. And she said, okay, she'll probably be back in a few minutes. And, you know, I walked out to my truck, and here comes some lady flying in, you know. And she parks like crooked. I know who that is, you know. And she jumps out. She's an older lady. You can tell she looks. And I said, ma'am, did you leave a purse? And she said, I sure did. And I said, well, I didn't find it, but some kind lady found that, and she took it right in there. I think the cash. She said, oh, thank you. Now, you know why, folks, we do that? And that lady, I don't know if the lady did that, goes to church, doesn't go to church, but I can tell you this. I don't know where or how she was taught that, but at some point somebody learned it by reading Deuteronomy chapter 22 and taught their kids, who maybe taught her kids, who maybe taught her kids. And you know what, folks, it's not a matter of, listen, stop this nonsense about, well, that don't apply to us. Yeah, it does apply to us. Matter of fact, everything in this chapter still applies to us. You can't just all of a sudden say, well, when we get down to verse 5, yeah, I'm supposed to help my neighbor get his cow in, but this verse 5 doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. Matter of fact, let me just go a step further, and I'll look at this in just a minute. Only one of these commands that has to do with our interaction and our responsibility towards other people, only one of these commands, if we break it, is called an abomination unto God. So if anything, don't come along to when you get to that verse and decide you can throw it out. If anything, it ought to heighten our responsibility, because if God doesn't say, if you don't go help your brother get his cow in, that's an abomination to me. When he's talking about the subject of cross-dressing, he says that's a direct abomination against me. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about why that's true in just a minute. So I wanted to go down through and see. Verse 1 through 4, responsibility for our neighbor's property. You know what? We still have some responsibility there. We can't just say, well, hey, she left her purse, bad on her. It's his cow, who cares? He said, you find your neighbor's raiment. You find anything that they lost. Hey, by the way, I've done what it said right there. One time, my neighbor wasn't home. His cow was out in front of my house. It was easier to get the cow into my pasture than get it into his pasture. I didn't feel bad about doing that. You know why I felt like it was okay? Because I've read the law. You know what? I waited till he got home. I said, hey, you missing a cow? I don't know. I haven't looked. Well, you are. Where's it at? It's over here at my house. You know, the Bible's kind of a good book. People used to call it the good book, okay? I mean, it's kind of a good book. You ought to read it, you know, and you might follow it, and you might be a better neighbor and a better person. And by the way, doing these kind of, I got a better chance of winning that guy to Christ, helping him chase his cows back in, than I do, you know, acting like it's not my responsibility. So, you know, it matters. How we treat each other matters. And so we have that. Verse number 5, our responsibility to keep natural boundaries between the two genders. Verse 6 and 7, responsibility to see that your neighbor is not robbed of future provision of food. You may say, preacher, what is this talking about? Okay, you've got the female bird, and she's on the nest, and she's got the eggs, and the Bible says you can take the eggs, but don't kill the bird. Well, why would you? Let's use some common sense. Think about that. I don't know. When you go out to your chicken coop and you get the eggs, do you kill the hen? What happens if you do kill the hen? When you go the next day, are there any more eggs? What the Bible's saying is this, you know what, take some consideration about what you do. God's given us, you know, dominion. God's given us the earth and the fullness thereof. But we are still responsible for our management of what God has provided. You deer hunters know this. If you've studied this thing, you know what? There ought to be a certain number. You don't just kill the bucks. You've got to take a certain number of doe. In order to keep a herd healthy, there is a formula, some things that need to be done. Why? So future generations. Listen, I'll give you a perfect example. Remember when home on the range where the deer and the buffalo play? Well, the buffalo's not playing there anymore. You know why? Somebody didn't read Deuteronomy chapter 22. A bunch of greedy people went out there and just said, well, there's just a zillion of these things, and so we'll just keep shooting them and taking their hides and letting the meat rot. And they did. They didn't obey. Listen, they were breaking Bible principle. Okay? I mean, the Bible even talks about if you take something in hunting and you don't use it, you don't roast the meat, the Bible calls you a sluggard, a slothful person. You don't go out in the woods, guys, and kill rabbits kill squirrels just to kill them and then throw them in a ditch somewhere. I don't even know. Now I don't feel like cleaning them. Well, guess what? You got a Bible responsibility. Okay? Because God put that stuff on this earth. I'm glad that Dad taught us, and we were challenged early, to read through the whole Bible. I know sometimes, listen, I get it. Okay, you read Genesis. That kept my interest. And then all of a sudden you get into Exodus. Then Deuteronomy. Okay, and Leviticus, Numbers. And you get in, it's kind of like, some of this stuff is like, wait a minute. Why don't you just slow down and just say, okay, here. If you did nothing else, just say, okay, let me look at this chapter. Is this commandments concerning my relationship to God or man? And if it's to God, do I still need to do this, or has Jesus taken care of this? But you know what? I still want to ponder it and think about it. Because, man, I'm going to tell you what. When Jesus came and did it and took care of it forever, man, he sure took a load of responsibility off of us. And think about these people that had to do all that every year, had to come bring that blood sacrifice. And all of that, you know, it's good for us. There's so much that can be learned. So in verse number 6 and 7, it's talking about responsibilities to our neighbors. Again, these are all laws concerning our neighbor. Okay? If I'm not wise in the harvesting of animals that God has provided on this earth, we're going to have a season down there. I'll just give you, for instance, I can remember, and this has been good, 15 years ago, I don't know, all of a sudden they raised the quota on how many doe that you could take in every county. They introduced that brand new. I'm going to tell you, the first year they did that, I can remember because I still lived in Brazil, Indiana. First year that they did that, I went to drop off my deer, and I'm going to tell you, people went crazy. And people just, I mean, folks, there were deer stacked around that guy's processing plant like cordwood. And you know what I did? I pulled it out there and I looked around and I said, there's something wrong with this. Remember, folks, legislation's passed that gives us the right to do something. Just because we have a right to do something doesn't mean we should do it. And I know everybody in the county that's got a hunting license could take 4 extra doe in Indiana. You know what I did for the next couple hours? I hung around there and I talked to hunters. And I looked at them and I said, guys, look around us. So it's fun killing all them things. What are we going to have to hunt in a couple years? And more guys begin to speak up and talk about it. And pretty soon, hunters begin to start, listen, just because we can doesn't mean we should. And by the way, it was the insurance companies that was passing that. You know what they want? They want deer. They would love to have no deer in Indiana. You know why? Because guys like me hit them, you know? I didn't used to have to say that, but here I am, part of the club. You know, my streak, a 40-year streak. And then I got thinking the other day, man, maybe this is the beginning of a new streak. I can maybe be the guy in Indiana that's killed the most deer. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. Hit the most deer, you know. I've got to get something going here. But, you know what guys did? They said, okay, after a year of that, everybody just kind of saw the result and started backing up. You know what we were doing? We were saying, you know what? We're just going to kill because we can kill. We're going to make sure that future generations have the same opportunity to enjoy what we're doing. Does it make sense to you? I'm going somewhere with this because this is going to apply also to verse number 5, this same responsibility that we have one to another, okay? Then we get into verse number 6 and 7. We talk about that, not robbing your neighbors of future provision of food. Verse number 8, I already talked about the responsibility for safety of the guests in your home. You don't look around your place, you know. I went to see Brother Eric, and you know what he did? It's before we could get out of the car, he had the back door open, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "this Brother Ron, you remember this?" He said, "my pavement is shifted right there," and he said, "I haven't got around to fix it. Just don't trip over that." As soon as he heard the car come in, he felt the responsibility coming out and watch guarding our safety. He didn't have to do that, but you know what I'm saying? Why did he do that? Because he's a Christian. I think, you know what? We ought to look around. That's why we look around here. We try to keep an eye on stuff. One of the projects me and Chad were overdue to do, and I know we've got to get it done. We will this spring or summer. But, you know, that little cement pad right outside the door has shifted down. You know why I go stand at the back door? Just say hi, bye and hi to everybody. You know why else I sit by the back door? I'm scared to death one of our older folks is going to catch their toe on that thing. So, we've got responsibilities, okay? You can talk about, well, I shouldn't have to carry liability insurance. Well, then don't be liable. Don't put yourself in a liable situation. And so that's just a responsibility we have. Then you look at verse 9, 10, 11, and 12. And we have Scofield has written this above that little section of verses, the law of separation. Now, one of the things that, again, this is responsibilities that we have for our neighbors, for our culture, for our community. And in verse number 9, it says, "Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyards be defiled." Now, what it's saying is you don't, at the same place in the same field, sow two different things. Okay, watch this. I'm going to say it over and over because we're going to get down to a verse that people want to turn around and land blast us about when it comes to dress. Well, you don't want to follow verse number 11, but you want to follow verse number 5. I'm going to get to it, but we're going to do it in the right interpretation of these verses. Okay, why don't I go and why don't we plant? Okay, Brother Jack, why don't you plant in one field a row of corn and a row of beans and a row of corn and a row of beans and a corn and a corn of beans? Why don't you do that? Why not? You know, I'm going to tell you something. In the back of our minds, there's something called the law of separation. Watch this. I want to say it. Two things that are different, I mean different, should not be placed together as one. Let me say it again. Two things that are different should not be placed together as one. That's why you have a cornfield and you got a bean field. Two things that are different. These are the laws of separation. The Lord, they're going to say in a very practical way, I want you to not do things that would put it even in the mind of your children that two things that are very different should be combined as one. We go to the next verse. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. So you don't get the donkey and you don't get the ox and you don't put them in a yoke where two things that are very different. Does this make sense? Are you starting to think about New Testament principles? Okay. If two things are very different, they shouldn't be put together as one. If two things are very different, and a donkey, for you city folks, and a ox are very different, okay? All right, so you don't put them together. Well, what if I only have a donkey and an ox and the other ox done and I've got to get this plowed, so I'm going to put them back together? You know what? He was like, I don't even want you to have the neighbor kids look over and think that an donkey ought to be yoked with an oxen. Now, is it about the donkey and the oxen? Or is it about, I want you to keep things so that two things that are the same are together, and two things that are diametrically different, we don't yoke them, we don't intermingle with them. You know what he was kind of teaching the children of Israel? Don't marry the Canaanites. I mean, I'm just telling you, on a larger stage, there's a principle there of separation. Then we get into verse number 11. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts as of woolen and linen together. Now, folks, study this out. A wool comes from where? All right, so that's from animals, okay? Linen does not come from animals. It comes from plants. It comes from flax. He's saying, I don't want you to take something that came from an animal and something that came from a plant, two things that are diametrically different, and combine them into one garment. What's he talking about? The law of separation. The law of separation, okay? And then we get into verse number 12, and I'm going to cover that in just a minute. The law of separation is this matter of, folks, let's just as a nation, not get used to taking things that are not the same and combining them. The United States of America could learn a lot if we just do this. Okay? Any of you sort socks? Sort socks? Does that happen in your house where you get the... Okay? You sort socks? Is it hard? If you got a blue sock, what do you pair it with? Because they're the... You got a brown sock, you pair it with a... Because it's the... You get to learn a lot sorting socks. You just learn a lot. I mean, why don't you just... Come on. Why don't you just... Come on, who cares? Why don't you just wear... I mean, like we did on the mix and match day. You know, why don't you just... Why was that the weird day? Because you were taking things that didn't go together and you were forcing them together. And it just seems like that is what America's determined to do and sell as being normal, and it's not normal in God's eyes. It's not normal in God's eyes. That's why there's no difference between these law of separation. This, listen, don't use verse number 11 to attack verse number 5. Verse number 11 supports verse number 5. Because what it's saying is, guess what? A man and a woman are different. So don't try to bring them together and treat them as if they are one. Keep the distinctive differences there. And so I wanted to answer that because I've read, listen, I have no problem with it. I promise you. I have no promise. I'd take it in the right spirit. I have heard every excuse of why it's all right to cross-dress. I've heard everything. I can give you a Bible answer for everything. Okay? I'm not wishy-washy on this. Okay? Everything that people are trying to take and use and... come on. In the normal reading of Scripture, you know, then the Bible says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Brother Abel shared this with me, and I've never used it because he shared it with me just a little while, or not a little while ago, but a few months back. He said he was on a church one time, and they hung a rope from one wall to another wall. And he said, on this side, they hung a pair of man's trousers. On this side, they hung a modest skirt, just from the line. In the middle, they hung a pair of women's pants. And the preacher said, which of these two garments does this pertain to? Okay? I'm just asking you to be open to the Holy Spirit, open to the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, what's the big deal about this? Now, stay with me. Remember, this is a law of the brotherhood. For brotherhood, this is a law that tells us we need to protect each other. We've got responsibilities to my neighbors. Okay? Do you know why America's got to where it is as far as where we're willing to accept almost everything? Because barriers started being broken down. What I'm saying is this. You've got a responsibility, older ladies. I had an older lady tell me, and trust me, with her, it was true. She said, well, if I wear a pair of pants, I'm not giving any man any problems. And I thought, no, you're not. You're giving us a problem, but it's not the problem that sometimes is the problem. And I said to her, well, that may be true, ma'am, but you are setting an example for the younger ladies that are coming up after you. And see, this isn't a law that's even, now even, by the way, God pulls himself into this one. It's in a chapter where it's laws concerning our responsibilities to each other. Listen, if I start dressing effeminate, first of all, I'm sinning against my brothers. Because I've got younger men that would look to me and think, well, maybe that's okay. So the reason I don't is I've got you know what? It's my body, it's my life. No, I'm sorry, you're not an island and everything you do influences and affects people around you. You're not going to hide behind that. All right? There's two great commandments. You're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and you're supposed to love your neighbors yourself. That means you don't do anything that could bring damage to that neighbor. Okay? And so, you know, that's why I don't do it. That's why as a lady you ought not to do that. Well, it doesn't hurt anything. Well, yeah, it does. Because a young lady that might not ever think about doing that or consider doing that, they see you start doing it, and guess what? All of a sudden, the devil starts using that in their mind that it's okay. And that's exactly what happened in the 1950s. An entire generation began to cross lines in this matter of dress in the United States of America. And all of a sudden, because, watch this, Lucy did it, and Laura Petrie did it, then it must be okay to do it. I love that nobody knows, you know. I love Lucy, Dick Van Dyke Show, and all of a sudden some Hollywood starlets, and by the way, they're known for their morality. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, buddy, they're Bible-based. And yet we let that crowd, because we're sitting in front of our TVs, and if a Hollywood star does it, we got to go do it, you know. That's why, you know what? Hey, I know that there's some neat things you girls enjoy and love to do, and there's some real benefit. But be careful what you're on Pinterest looking at and not looking at. Because you keep looking, you know, that's not the place to go and figure out where to get a hairstyle. Why don't you come to church and look around at godly women and figure out how to get a hairstyle? Why are you going to models? Why are you going to whoremongers and seeing what kind of dress you ought, maybe an outfit that you think you ought? What are you doing? Okay, and so, you know, let's go to the right people, the right examples, and let's follow those right examples, okay? Deuteronomy 22:5. See, in this chapter, by the way, from verse 13 down to verse number 30, I'm not going to read all of that, but that entire section talks about our responsibility to protect the moral our own moral reputation, the moral reputation of our spouse, and the moral reputation of our family, which, by the way, is still valid. So how in the world can we go to this one chapter and not argue anything? Good night. I'm supposed to go help the guy get the cow in. And yeah, you know what? If something in my house could hurt somebody, I probably ought to fix it. But we can't go to this, and all of a sudden that is the verse that, well, you're pulling out of context. I didn't just pull that out of context, thank you very much. I just taught the whole chapter. And we're all still responsible, have a responsibility to each other. I have influence. You, sir, you, ma'am, have influence. And when you choose to do the right thing in a godly way, it influences people around you that direction. When you choose to ignore Bible principles, it influences people in that direction. And so that's a better explanation with, once we had a little more time this morning, on Deuteronomy 22:5. Now let me have you go and look at the end of that verse, because like I said, there's only one verse that says, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. You know why? Again, because God had set a line, male and female, made he them. And you know what? It's an abomination to God for anybody to be involved in tearing down that barrier. You know why? Because the God of the universe, who made men and made women, understood all of the sins that would follow if these two, that barrier gets destroyed. Okay, come on. Study your history. When that barrier began to be destroyed in the 50s and 60s, what happened to our nation? And you're not going to be able to point and say that didn't have anything to do with it. That was foundational in what happened next. Okay? Why the sexual revolution of the 60s? Because of the change in dress in the 50s. Why the rise of public by the way, the whole feminist movement, because of what happened in the 50s. Why are we dealing with the sodomites? And why, come on, why do we have legalized marriage among sodomites? Because there's a barrier. And God says, listen, there's feminine attributes, but there's also a difference that I want kept between the two genders. And it has to do with hair length, and it has to do with dress. And you know what? You ought to treat that very sacredly. Make sure that you are staying unquestionably gender specific. I said unquestionably gender specific in your choices of dress. It's not just that. It's the modesty issue. When that starts getting broke down too, then all of a sudden what begins to happen? Ladies, I don't want to put undue responsibility on you, but let me tell you something. You have responsibility. And I believe this, the morals of a nation rest in the hands of the women of that, I said of the women of that nation. And there's certain lines you're supposed to guard, okay? And so this thing about it being an abomination. Now, let me give you the next thought. Okay, are you with me? Still there? Breathing good? All right, good. Now, of all the things listed in Deuteronomy 22, only one is an abomination to the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you a list because, again, we got food coming, right? All right. I haven't forgot, but stay with me. This is important. In all of the Old Testament law, there are only 10 things that God says, if you do this, it's an abomination, or you become an abomination to me. And by the way, did you read the wording on that? For all that do so are abomination. You know what? I'm sorry, but that would just scare me. Okay, if there's a gray middle ground, I'm not over there. Okay, I'm not even close to that. Good night. You know what? Did you hear this morning's message? I'm supposed to seek holiness. Why, in the effort to seek holiness, why would I want to live in a bunch of gray areas? That's not how holiness is achieved. So if there is an argument, if there is a doubt, if there is a gray, why not just get out of that? I'm not risking becoming an abomination unto the Lord. I'm not doing it. You want to do it, do it. Okay? Now, watch this. There's 10 things, all right? You can get the tape. You can listen to it on the website. I can't go to all the verses, but I'll give you the references. What are the 10 things, preacher, that God says these sins? Now, listen, there's more than 10 things in the Old Testament law that God says is an abomination. He'll say it's an abomination unto you or an abomination unto man, but there's only 10 things that says that he said this is an abomination unto me, against me. Here's the 10 things. And it's an entire chapter, Leviticus 18. I got to be really careful here. It's a whole chapter, but it is sexual perversions. And it's not just talking about homosexuality. It's talking about bestiality, incest, adultery. It's the laundry list of wicked perversion. And God says over and over again, you cross. It's just what I said this morning. That's why the first thing we do is set our heart, and then we mortify these things, because those things are abomination unto the Lord. All right, any sexual perversion. Then specifically in Leviticus 20, verse 13, it's homosexuality is the second one. And then number three is idol worship, and that's Leviticus 7. 25 to 26, Deuteronomy 27, 15, Deuteronomy 29, 17, Deuteronomy 32, 16, idol worship, abomination against God, offering children as burnt sacrifices to false gods. Yeah, I think that might bother God, all right? Deuteronomy 12, 31, he said that's an abomination. Offering, watch this, may seem like a little thing, offering a blemished sacrifice unto God for your sin offering. Why would that be an abomination? Because you know what? A blemished sacrifice is not what's going to close the deal. Jesus Christ was the perfect Lamb of God. And you know what? To bring something that you know was blemished or broken or defiled against, and you did it on purpose because you wanted to save the best for you, God said, that's an abomination. You just misrepresented my son and what he's going to do. He's got an issue. Listen, some of the things God says is a big deal. You may not understand why it's a big deal. I may not understand what's a big deal. You know what? I don't have to understand. If God says it, I'm not getting near it. Okay, I'm not touching it. Number six, wizardry, witchcraft, consulting familiar spirits, Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. Okay, Harry Potter fans, take that, put it in your pipe and smoke it, all right? Deuteronomy 22, 5. You go ahead and do it. You know, it's just entertainment. You do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying. That's been integrated in entertainment, in video games, in books, in movies. You can't hardly find one where it's not in there somewhere. I'm talking about in children's movies. What is your kids watching? They walking around with a little wand and making magic? Oh, it's cute. It's not cute to God. It's not cute to God. Cross-dressing, number 7, Deuteronomy 22:5. I love this one. Contributing money made by prostitution to the Lord. Yeah, that God says, I'm sorry. That's appreciate the generosity. That's an abomination, all right? It's in there. By the way, this might surprise some of you. A divorced woman who remarries her former husband after being married to another man in between. By the way, you better read the Old Testament law. I've watched people say, oh, you know, this person left this person, broke their wedding vows, went and lived with this person, married this person. That didn't work out. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if? No, it wouldn't. I like it when it gets quiet. See, we kind of think that some things just, God doesn't look at it that way. You know why? Because marriage is a picture of our relationship between the church of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ himself. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't have much patience with this nonsense of being cheated on. All right. How about that one? All right. And then number 10, the use of imperfect weights and measures when doing business. You know what? The entire commerce of an entire nation rests on the fact that when you go to the gas pump and you pump a gallon of gas, it's supposed to be a gallon of gas. When you go to the butcher and get 5 pounds of meat, it's supposed to be 5 pounds of meat. You know, if that starts being messed with, and by the way, it has been by our government. Do you realize that that's an abomination of God? Because that puts at risk the financial well-being of everybody in that nation. Okay, now think about that. I'm going to give them to you again. All right, sexual perversion and that nasty list I'm not going to read again. God changed his mind on that? Homosexuality, God changed his mind on that? Oh, he looked down and saw it became, you know, Supreme Court. You know, 9 men in black robes, 9 women with black robes, black hearts, 5 of them. Caved on this. You think God all of a sudden said, well, I guess it's acceptable. God didn't change his mind on anything. You think God's okay with idol worship now? It's okay. You go ahead and burn up one of your kids to a false god. God's kind of, that's all right. It's 2018 after all. I mean, good night. They need to get out of the 1950s. Is that what he's going to say? Okay. Offering a blemished sacrifice. We don't have to worry about that anymore. That's been taken care of for us. Wizardry, witchcraft, consulting a familiar spirit, contributing money made by prostitution, divorced woman marries former husband after being married to another man in between, imperfect weights and bounds. Listen, if God hasn't changed his mind on only that, then please tell me, why do you think he changed his mind on this, okay? And folks, listen to me. I hope that you sense that I'm trying to be, and I want to be kind. I want to be, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. But somebody has got to get up and say, folks, just because the rest of the world's doing it doesn't mean that we're supposed to do it. And just because the rest of the world is calling good evil and evil good, I can't do that, and neither should you. You know why? We have a you know, folks, we are salt and we are light, and we've got a responsibility to this nation to stand right and live right and do right, even if they spit at us, throw things at us, don't understand us, laugh at us, mock at us. What they don't understand is we are preserving this nation, and we are holding back the hand of God's judgment. And if we cave like everybody else, who's going to stand? Where's the salt? Where's the light? All right, so that brings us to the last point. Even though the commandment against cross-dressing is listed as an abomination against God, it appears in the context amongst a list of commands concerning our responsibility for neighbors. Why? Because cross-dressing causes confusion in a society and leads to the redefinement of what is natural. That's why in this matter of hair length, doth not nature itself teach you? And that's why, how did we get to this point? How did we get to Romans chapter 1? For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Folks, listen to me. God's going to have to do something about this sin in America, or he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, because we're not that far away. Well, preacher, I read that, and man, they are beating at the door. They were beating at the door demanding. Yeah, I know, and they're coming to that door right back there. We're fighting back. We fought back laws in this last legislative session, right up there at the state capitol in Indianapolis, that's trying to keep them from beating on the door of that. You know what? In California, they came this close. Matter of fact, they passed it. But you know what? And I don't understand why, except God's protection and provision upon my little daughter, my grandchildren out there. But they had passed a bill that says that a religious organization cannot fire a person because of any private sins that they may be involved in when it comes to this matter of sexuality. That means if I got a Christian school teacher and he decides to have an affair, if I fire him, he can sue the church. I can't legally fire him. Guess what? It happens here. I don't care what the law says. I'm firing him. Okay? But you know what? They're not going to quit. just because it came that close in California. And it's going to pass in a state before it's long, and it's going to pass in another state. Then there's going to be another upheaval. And then, you know what, folks? This isn't going to get better. Okay? What I'm saying is, well, preacher, that's horrible. I know everybody's aghast now that we got here, but how did we get here? Because God set a barrier. And you know what? Men, we need to stay over here and be men. Not just in outward appearance, but in all of the masculine responsibilities that God put on us. 21 Tenets, it's a great book. I know the author. You should read it. 21 Tenets of Biblical Femininity. If I put those two books in the average university in the United States of America, they'd probably come beat on the door and try to crucify me. But it's common sense. It's not just common sense. It's Bible-based. Scriptures everywhere. If we don't, and some of those chapters and some of those things that the Bible covers, because we've been so deluded, desensitized, is that really a big, well, if it's in the Bible, it is. And whether I understand it or not, I need to obey it because I have responsibilities to my brothers and sisters and to my fellow citizens and to the United States of America. And if everybody caves on this, where are we going to be? What's going to be left? What's your grandchildren going to have to grow up living in? They're going to come beating on the door. Okay, are parents going to start being arrested because they've taught their kids that homosexuality is a sin? Are they going to, in their public school, be asked, has your parents ever said this is bad? Oh, that wouldn't happen. It's happening in other countries right now. Okay, I mean, let me tell you, I just ask you, how bad does it have to get before you finally are willing to draw some kind of line? And if you're going to draw a line, wherever you draw a line, you're going to have to fight there. Wherever you draw a line, you have to fight there. So why not draw it where God draws it? If I'm going to fight somewhere, I'm going to make sure I got the Bible as my basis. If I'm going to war, I'm going to have the Bible. So if I compromise, I promise you this is true. Every preacher that's compromised on this and went this far and draw a line, he still has to fight a battle with some people in his church over where that line is. So he compromised. And I don't care what he's done. He's going to have to fight a battle somewhere. Well, why not just fight it right over here where it's clear, it's concise, it's biblical. There's no doubt about it to anybody that's honest with the scripture. And then just let the chips fall where they may. I've had people tell me, preacher, if you didn't have this one belief, then you know what? Your church would probably be running 800 people. And I thought, if I didn't have this one belief, I'd be running a church that wasn't worth much. That's right. And by the way, that's not true always either. Because what happens is we compromise to keep carnality happy. We compromise to keep carnality happy, but good godly people will go find some preacher that'll stand. So now you don't have the solid people you used to have. And those are the ones, by the way, carnal people don't run bus routes and carnal people don't go soul winning. And you know why? Because they're carnal. So you're making changes so that you can keep carnality happy at the expense of spirituality because those people aren't going to stay in a carnal church and they shouldn't. So what you don't end up gaining anything. And by the way, then you've got to pastor a bunch of carnal people. Have fun with that. And so let's just do the right thing. Don't and stop, young ladies, young men, stop letting the world dictate to you the standard of your dress or the length of your hair. Insist in following the principles of God's word. If this makes you different, then glory in it. Do not seek to conform to the changing styles and standards of the world. If a current style, watch this, if a current style is in keeping with biblical principles, it's not wrong to participate in it. I'm not asking everybody to look like, you know, but I'm saying is this, it's not wrong to participate in it, but let your principles dictate whether a garment's okay or not, not what everybody else just happens to be into at the time. Okay, don't get in the habit of following the whims and fashions of a godless society or you know what, you're going to be everywhere. You're going to be everywhere. I hope this has been a help to you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless us, dear God, and help us. Lord, use the scriptures to minister to each of our hearts, Lord. Thank you for the Bible, and thank you for Christians that have come to sit and learn. And Lord, we have people that have been saved for 30 years in this room. We've got saved people that haven't been saved for 3 months. And Lord, I thank you that everybody, Lord, has come, and they come with an open heart. And dear Lord, thank you for being patient with me. You know, we don't get to where we are. We didn't get there overnight. And Lord, I pray that we'll always exercise good patience with each other and love and consideration. All the things we talked about this morning. If we put on the attributes of Jesus Christ, you know, we can stand for right and still be kind. We can stand for right and still be loving. We can stand for right and still be good to people. And so, Lord, that's what I want our reputation to be, God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to do that. But, Lord, at the same time, may we stand. May we always stand for the Word of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name.